In Victorian London, two magicians are locked in a rivalry that will consume their lives and the lives of generations to come. Alfred Borden and Rupert Angier begin as ambitious young performers, each determined to create the most spectacular illusions the world has ever seen. Their initial professional jealousy transforms into something far darker when a theater accident results in the death of Angier's wife. Was it truly an accident, or Borden's deliberate sabotage? The seed of hatred planted that night grows into an obsession that will destroy them both. What makes their feud so compelling is how each man perceives himself as the victim and the other as the villain. Through their dueling diaries, we witness two entirely different versions of the same events. Borden describes Angier as a fraud, exploiting grieving families through fake seances, while Angier portrays Borden as a malicious saboteur whose actions grow increasingly dangerous. The truth, like any great magic trick, lies somewhere in the carefully constructed misdirection. The lie is contained in these words, even in the very first of them, Borden warns in his diary, a confession that sets the tone for a narrative where deception becomes inseparable from reality. Every great magic trick consists of three parts, Borden writes. First is the setup, presenting something ordinary. Next comes the performance, where that ordinary object does something extraordinary. Finally, the prestige occurs when the vanished object returns, transforming trickery into magic. Though both magicians understand these principles, their approaches differ dramatically. Borden's performances combine technique with theatrical flourish. His signature illusion, the new transported man, begins with dazzling preliminaries, connecting Chinese linking rings, producing a woman from a cabinet, performing card tricks, and materializing flags from thin air. This builds to his masterpiece. Amid crackling electricity, Borden vanishes from one platform and instantly appears across the stage. The secret behind this illusion drives Angier to desperate measures, ultimately to his doom. What price would you pay to create true wonder in a jaded world? For these men, the answer is everything. Obsessed with uncovering Borden's secret, Angier convinces Tesla to create a device for his act. Tesla's machine transcends science. It creates perfect duplicates of Angier, each with identical memories and personality, each believing they are the original. This multiplication creates both practical and philosophical crises. Each performance of In a Flash generates a new Angier, while the original remains, forcing an impossible choice. One version must die to maintain the illusion and prevent duplicate Angiers appearing in London. I had become both murderer and victim, Angier writes, describing his nightly decision to be either the one who lives or dies, knowing both are equally real. This Faustian bargain transforms their rivalry from theatrical competition to something horrifying, a contest where the stakes aren't merely reputation, but existence itself. Have you ever wanted something so badly you'd sacrifice everything for it? What if everything included parts of yourself you never knew could be divided? While Angier pursues technological transportation, Borden's diary reveals a more profound sacrifice. His celebrated illusion relies on identical twins sharing a single identity and life. We are one person in all respects but one, Borden confesses. The twins orchestrate an elaborate deception extending beyond the stage. While one appears publicly, the other remains hidden, studying reactions or maintaining their separate existence. This explains the transportation illusion. One twin enters the cabinet, while the other emerges elsewhere. The cost is enormous. Neither can live authentically. They share everything: career, reputation, wife, mistress, children. Sometimes I forget which experiences belong to me and which to him, the diary reveals. Their divided existence disrupts relationships. They maintain separate apartments, alternating between wife Sarah and mistress Olive. Neither woman knows the truth, though both sense something unsettling in their lover's inconsistent behavior. This perfect illusion costs them their individual identities, creating a psychological prison neither can escape without destroying their success and relationships. The rivalry peaks when Borden sabotages Tesla's machine during Anger's performance, catastrophically splitting him into two beings, one wraith-like, neither fully alive nor dead, and the other retaining physical form but painfully declining. The Wraith Anger exists in a half-world, mentally alert but physically insubstantial. Objects pass through him, and people recoil at his hollow eyes and the gaps between his sleeves and gloves. Consumed by rage, Wraith Anger attempts to murder Borden, who denies having a twin. Seeing Borden's terror, Anger realizes he's become a monster and abandons his plan. "We should never have started this, but killing you is not the way to end it." Eventually, Wraith Anger returns to Cowdlow House, where his dying physical self remains. Their reunion proves extraordinary. "We were perfect complements. Everything I lacked was in him. Everything I had, he lost." They become inseparable, sharing a room and finishing each other's sentences. What does it mean to be yourself when yourself has been fragmented? Can identity survive such division? A century later, journalist Andrew Wesley, haunted by a connection to a phantom twin, meets Kate Anger at her ancestral home. She believes their families share a dark history involving rival magicians. Following cryptic clues beneath Cowdlow House, Andrew discovers a horrifying underground chamber filled with rows of identical, perfectly preserved corpses, all replicas of Rupert Anger. Each body has typed cards recording theater names, dates, and numerical codes from performances of Anger's transportation illusion. Among these identical bodies lies one different corpse, Nicholas Julius Borden, the child Kate witnessed her father sacrifice years earlier. A thin voice echoes, "You're a Borden, aren't you? I thought you'd come for him in the end. He is you, Borden, and these are all me." Some version of Anger survives as curator of this grotesque collection. The novel ends with Andrew carrying Nikki's body through a blizzard while Kate witnesses a spectral figure moving between trees before vanishing. What began as professional rivalry evolved into something far more malevolent, a destructive contest demanding terrible sacrifices with consequences extending beyond the magician's lives. Kate remains traumatized by witnessing her father seemingly murder a child. Andrew's life is defined by an inexplicable sense of a missing twin that records deny. These phantom connections show how magical deceptions can fracture identities and family histories. The novel performs the very magic it describes, becoming an intricate trick on readers. Like a magician misdirecting audience attention, the book employs unreliable narrators and competing accounts, with its structure mirroring a classic magic trick: setup, performance, and prestige. The prestige suggests the most dangerous illusion is the one we perform for ourselves, believing our obsessions justify any cost. Both magicians thought their rivalry important enough to warrant terrible sacrifices, yet produced only pointless destruction. Passion unchecked by compassion becomes self-destruction disguised as ambition. What parts of yourself would you sacrifice for greatness? And if achieved through such means, would anything remain to enjoy the triumph?